with Lucy Braden, ABC Radio Hobart.
Hey, did you hear about the major cyber attack on Australian governments and businesses? We're going to be talking about it in a few minutes' time. China's apparently behind it. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, says there haven't been large-scale personal data breaches, but the hacks have been on some state government departments, agencies, local governments, hospitals. So is our own personal information at risk? Our own bank details, our passwords? And do you have the same password for everything? Or do you kind of break it up and maybe have, I don't know, a different password for everything? I'm really, really intrigued to hear from you on that. And if you do have the golden answer, what should we do? Where do you store the information? Give me a call. Let me know. 1-300-222-936. I got hacked last year and it was terrifying. It wasn't anything important, I guess you could say, but I'm just glad I worked at the ABC at the time because they were really able to help in that regard. And I wonder what would have happened if I didn't. This hacker, I had a pretty easy password, apparently. So that's been changed. You can do all these different types of verification to make sure the right person is logging into your account. But it was terrifying. They changed my name. They sent abusive messages to people. Has that ever happened to you? Have you been on the receiving end of something like that? Peter in Gilston Bay says you should have a different password for each account you access. You can easily do this by using something like LastPass or Keychain, I think it's called. They store all your passwords, and when you need to put them in, they can put them in for you. And they also generate a good password each time and give you a score on how healthy your passwords are. Ah, thanks, Peter. Sue at Penner says, I have several passwords, but they are all variations of the name of my dog or grandchildren. Yep. I know someone else who does something similar. And Brian says, I have different passwords for everything. That's for 2 email accounts, my phone, my bank account, a few forums where I'm a member. And although I'm not on the internet, I have a computer on which to store my digital photographs. You need another password to open the computer. All are alphanumerical, upper and lowercase. Oh, just lost that. Nothing the same for anything. It might be a pain, but I even have my phone. Need a re-entered password after 5 minutes. Ah, on your phone, you need to have a re-entered password after 5 minutes of non-use, says Brian. Yeah, keen to hear from you. What do you do? Where do you store your passwords? What happens if you literally, like many people, have, I don't know, maybe up to 50 things where you need passwords for? Where do you store them? 1-300-222-936. Give me a call. Keen to hear from you.
Keeping you entertained and informed. Lucy Braden on ABC Radio Hobart.
Steve Sammartino is a business technology expert and a futurist to talk to us about the hacking. What went down today? Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Can you kind of sum it up for us? What went on with this hacking thing today that we were hearing about?
Yeah, so the government are keeping many of the details under wraps, but they're paying homage to the fact that Australia, and I think the US as well, has been under a cyber attack for the past month where a sophisticated actor, maybe a state actor or some other sophisticated form, have hacked into various government-based websites. And I think that the main purpose of announcing this was really to pay homage to what you've just said, is that we need to start taking data and security far more seriously than we do, because it's a little bit more than the information that's stored on your computer. It's a little bit more than the photos that you have and someone getting into your social media. It actually runs the entire economy now. Hmm. It's the mesh that ties together our entire economy.
So what do you mean? Like, what is at risk?
Yeah, so, look, I mean, the thing that's interesting about hacking is that we have this false idea that it's something to do with our computers and maybe some information on there. And there might be some financial risk, and we think, well, the bank will look after us, and if they get hacked, it's kind of partially their fault, you know, their fault, and we'll be looked after. But as we emerge into a new environment called the Internet of Things, and I'll explain what that is, basically anything that has electricity in it now and in the near future will be connected to the Internet. Our entire economic infrastructure is connected through the web, our electricity grids, our health systems, like surgery, our houses, our light switches. Everything is connected through the web. In fact, you cannot buy a new car that isn't connected to the web and isn't hackable. I mean, the brakes on cars now are based on electronic signals. These things are all hackable. And so we've got to start taking data security more seriously, because you only need one or two doors that someone can break into where they can get to, you know, something that's inconsequential, but it actually helps them open other doors.
So who is it on to do that type of stuff? Is it on our government, state, federal, local? Is it on us? What do we need to do?
It's actually all of them, and I'm really glad you mentioned that. And so let's draw an analogy that everyone can understand. If we said to ourselves that workplace health and safety or road safety, who is that on? Well, it's on all of us. It's on the people who run the factory or make the car. It's on the driver to act safely and to follow the procedures that we get told again and again, like our passwords, to manage that well. And it's on the government to pass regulation that makes the car manufacturers or the factory operators make their workplaces safe. And so this is something that, as a society, it's something that we buy into. If we want to have a vibrant civilization, we've all got to all buy into the security. But I think in the first instance, it might be a little bit like road safety was in the 1970s. We've got to understand that there's a problem here, and the problem's going to get worse unless we start changing the way we approach it. So it's actually something that we're all responsible for in different ways. But I think the first part, and we're starting to hear about it now, is paying more attention to these things and start asking the questions about what we can do.
And is there any tips you could give to people if they are listening right now thinking, I want to do something, but I don't know what? Is it just about making sure there's like that two-factor verification on your phone and little things like that?
Yeah. So there's the two simplest things that we can do, and I'll just point out the reason that we need to do this is the weak point in data and internet security is always the end user. That's always the weakest point, the end user making mistakes, which leave doors slightly ajar. And I'm using that metaphor there. But the two simplest things that the listeners can do is have two-factor authentication on everything. Right, as soon as you log in on a different device, you should be able to get an alert. As soon as you go to log in somewhere, it should ask, you know, send a text message to your phone to help you get in. I mean, that can thwart, you know, 99% of attacks just by having that simple thing. The other one is that we need to update our software whenever an update gets through. Now, I know if the listeners are like many of us, your iPhone or your Android says, new software available, update now or later. And we just click later, later, I'm busy now. We'll do it later, don't we? We're all so guilty of it.
Oh, guilty, yes.
Yeah, and you know why those updates get sent through? 9 times out of 10, it isn't to make the software better. It's because someone's found a vulnerability or, you know, a door that's open there, some sort of a security hitch that needs to be fixed. And so those two simple things, if we all did that, you know, we would reduce the potential for data hacks enormously.
Steve Sammartino is my guest. He's a business technology expert, and we're talking about that major cyber attack on Australian governments and businesses, including hospitals, local governments, state governments, that happened today. Well, it's been ongoing for a while, I should say. Mm. We were alerted about it today. Steve, all fingers are pointing to China. Does that make a difference as opposed to individual hackers?
No, I don't think it does. And look, and even there's some information where people are suggesting that. I think what we need to do is be vigilant on how we approach cybersecurity, regardless of who the enemy is. And the truth of it is, it's very, very difficult to know. What we do know is that it was a sophisticated attack. And there are many actors who can do that. And so where it comes from is not nearly as important as the safeguards that we put in place. And this is probably going to be increasing in nature around the world. The one thing that we know for sure is that attacking is going to continue. It's going to be upweighted. You know, a lot of people say we're already in a technology cold war. That's where the new Cold War now is about cyber attacks. And if you think about it, you can take down an electricity grid with a cyber attack. Yeah, we can do individual harm on a cyber attack. Like, one of the classic examples is, you say, well, it's bad to get your photo stolen, but imagine if someone went and hacked your personal records in a hospital and removed something you have a severe allergy to. This is when information has physical consequences.
That's pretty terrifying.
No, it is terrifying, right? And then the hospitals, last time we had an attack that went through the hospitals 3 years ago, more than half of the hospitals were running an outdated piece of Windows software. And so what happens is that, and this is the one thing we should do as a country with businesses and with government, is that cybersecurity isn't that little leftover thing with the other piece of budget. It needs to be at the top of the chain. I mean, we need security becomes an important procedure. And hospitals, they want to put all the money they can into the most advanced medical equipment and to staffing, as they should. But we need to understand that cybersecurity actually becomes a risk that could cause more injury. And so we need to be able to protect that in another way.
And when it comes to work, I mean, work and personal life often get blurred, but I feel like at work we often have the same password for everything. And there might be emails, your computer login at the start, you might need another login for something else, but it's all ends up being the same password.
Yeah, it does. I think, you know, the evolution of this is to go towards biometric scanning. And biometric scanning, for the listeners, is when we use something, you know, akin to a fingerprint. It might be an iris scan or a face scan. Where that information is really, it's very, very difficult to hack because it's something that is unique to all of us. One of the concerns there, of course, is that it needs to be encrypted end-to-end, which means that your face isn't stored in a database somewhere. But biometric scanning removes our need to memorize something. It could even be voice recognition software. There's various ways to do it. But if we move to something where we didn't have to use our memory to have, you know, 100 different passwords and complex safe passwords, or use one of the services like LastPass or OnePass, which are both very, very good. Biometric scanning certainly will make things easier, but we need to make sure that we've got the security around that. But I think that's where we'll end up.
You mentioned the LastPass, the keychain, and all of those things where you can store your personal passwords. Are they safe? Is that hackable?
Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, oh, look, nothing is unhackable. That's the first thing we need to remember. But just like a house, we've got to think of this like a house. Okay, your house is always going to have an insecurity. There is always going to be a way to get in. But if we make our house more secure, then we reduce our probability of being hacked dramatically. All right. The one difference, of course, is that if we get into one house, like some medical records that all Australians are on, well, you know, one person who's weak in the chain ruins it for everyone. That's one of the things that's different with the scale of the internet. It operates in a different way. You only need to get into one door. But the more secure we are and the more good habits we have, the more reduced personal probability of something bad happening through a hack.
Though the thought of biometric scanning kind of freaks me out. Is that like, it sounds so like futuristic.
Yeah, well, it's already here. Your Apple phone already can unlock itself with your face. Yeah, and we have a voice activation as well. I mean, some cars have fingerprints that open the door. So it's already here in many realms. And look, for me, it's not scary so long as it's respected. And this is where the lawmakers come in. I mean, the idea that private corporations can store, including Facebook, including Amazon, can store a version of your face in their 30,000 words of terms and conditions that you don't really understand how they're going to use that in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, to get around this problem of biometric scanning, it should be like, well, all of your biometric measures, they should be your personal copyright. Any company that wants to use it needs your permission and or to pay you for the right to do it, and they certainly shouldn't be storing it. It should be end-to-end encryption, which means it's only on your phone and Apple can't access it, for example. So it's not scary if we treat it right, but what we need is our government to say, okay, here's how we're going to approach biometric scanning, here's how we're going to protect the populace. The problem, of course, in a lot of technology realms is that the things that they can do to protect the population, it's actually in the government's interest sometimes to have access to these things through private organisations because they can use them for their own security purposes. So we have almost this quasi-conflict of interest.
Steve, it's been so good talking to you, and some really good points raised and some takeaways as well. Like, don't have the same password for anything. Use two-factor verification?
Authentication.
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure if it was verification. That's great to know, though. Thank you so much, and, yeah, for shedding a bit of light on what's going on.
Absolute pleasure, anytime.
Cheers.